tonight's program. My name is Mike Malloy. Thank you for tuning in. Well, the Supreme Court ruled this morning. You know what I found really funny? I'll get to this in a minute. Is how absolutely ass backwards Fox News got it and CNN got it. Especially Fox. I watched this little clip that's on the internets now, and there's old Bill Hemmer just almost wetting himself. He can hardly sit in his chair, and he gives the announcement, the Supreme Court has thumbs down on Obamacare, blah, 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 ruled it on God. And then they went to one of their dingbat blonde reporters who was standing outside the Supreme Court, and she flips open to the part where, well, I've got it right in front of me here, Bill, and I've been reading through it. Sure you have, sweetie. She gets to the part where Roberts is saying that the Commerce Clause has nothing to do with this, and therefore it is not constitutional under the Commerce Clause. Of course, she leaves out the next few sentences where Roberts, who wrote, and what about Roberts? Anyway, I just thought it was so typical of these two cable networks. Oh, and then I saw some video. Some representative from Ohio, a woman, who, remember that scene in when Harry Met Sally where, what's her name's character? Meg Ryan's character is trying to describe an orgasm. Isn't that what she was doing? How she fakes it. Yeah, how women can fake an orgasm. To Tom Hanks' character. Not Tom Hanks. Billy Crystal, that's right. And, you know, she goes through this whole thing of shrieking and screaming and convulsing. And I'll be damned if there's a piece of video out on the internet, maybe you've seen it, this representative from Ohio, a woman who is in a crowd of people, I guess it's some kind of a rally or something, and she starts doing this, and she got a cell phone up her ear, and she starts jerking and contorting and, oh, yes, 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 they ruled it unconstitutional, the mandate, yes, yes, yes. And people around her looking at her like, really? I mean, is this the whole thing of your life? And then I can imagine when she finally found out and now sees her stupid reaction to something that didn't happen on the internet. It's just so funny, the whole thing. By the way, this hour is being sponsored by Jason Ben-Levy. It's a new book he's written called Too Much Magic, Pulling the Plug on the Cult of Tech, The Secrets They Won't Tell You About Your Digital Life. Jason wrote it. He's a regular listener to The Malloy Show. Too Much Magic tells the inside story of venture capitalists, media moguls, and marketeers using digital magic to distract us, invade our privacy, corrupt democracy, distort human values, and sell us things that we don't need. Too Much Magic has been awarded 5 stars from the San Francisco Book Review. It's available on Amazon or from your local bookstore. And to find out more, go to Jason's website, TooMuchMagic.com. Spell it out, T-O-O, MuchMagic.com. Fight the new digital 1% sons of bitches. That's TooMuchMagic.com. Get it. Read it. Thank you, Jason. Too Much Magic. Come on, y'all, and I'll do it. TooMuchMagic.com. I don't know how much you want to talk about this ruling today, except for the geek and freak value, and there's an awful lot of that. Oh, my God. Some of the comments. One of America's stupidest politicians. I mean, he couldn't find his ass with both hands. I'm talking about Rand Paul. Following the announcement of the Supreme Court's ruling, Paul offered the following statement, quote, Just because a couple people on the Supreme Court declare something to be constitutional does not make it so. The whole thing remains unconstitutional. While the court may have erroneously come to the conclusion that the law is allowable, it certainly does nothing to make this mandate or government take care over of our health care right. Obama's wrong for Americans. It would destroy our health care system. This now means we fight every hour, every day, in the trenches, on the hills, in the valleys, on the street corners, in the alleys, until November, to elect a new president and a new Senate to repeal Obamacare. Yeah, am I finished? Can I stop now? Just because a couple of people on Supreme Court rule something unconstitutional, that doesn't mean it is. Hey, Rand Paul, you half-witted dumbass. You ever heard of Marbury versus Madison? No? It's a Supreme Court fight? The case, Marbury versus Madison, established the concept of judicial review for the laws passed, you know, to see if they're constitutional, or the ability of the judiciary branch to declare a law unconstitutional. And the case Marbury versus Madison did just that, and in effect brought the Supreme Court up to the level, as far as governing is concerned, to the other two branches. But you wouldn't expect a half-witted moron like Rand Paul to ever, you know, you say, you ever heard of Marbury versus Madison? He said, what's that, a pack of cigarettes? You Ayn Rand half-asses. You really are. You're just such morons. Oh, my God. A leading Republican congressman, you know, this Mike Pence, he wants to be the governor of Indiana. You know, you folks in Indiana, you really, I mean, so do we here in Georgia, but Indiana Republicans just, I don't know, they're like Wisconsin Republicans. They're just, I don't know, they're like Stepford husbands. They must have little switches in the back of their neck where the corporatists can turn them on and on. But Mike Pence, a member of Congress, compared the Supreme Court decision upholding the Affordable Care Act to the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Jesus Christ. According to Think Progress, I guess, in a closed-door House Republican meeting this morning, Indiana Congressman Mike Pence compared the Supreme Court's ruling upholding the healthcare law to the September 11th terror attacks, according to several sources present. Now, if it was a closed-door Republican meeting, duh, well, it must be Republicans! Now, this isn't the first time Mike Pence has opened his mouth and crammed his ass all right down to his tonsils. In 2009, he thanked a town hall constituent, you know, one of those teabag freak-out circle jerks. He thanked a town hall constituent who said that Obama, quote, sounds a lot like Hitler. Hitler? Sounds a lot like Hitler. And Mike Pence said, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, don't forget the 10 o'clock show. We'll be here all week. And don't forget to tip your waiters. Good Lord. Compared to 9/11 attacks. That's great. That's really great. We'll be right back.
Just
21 past the hour. I mean, these conservatives have all gone insane today. I mean, it doesn't matter if they're members of Congress or if they're media. They're just knucking futs. I mean, they all went crazy today. It was just like a collective howl of I don't know. I don't know what to call it. Listen to this. Matt Davis, a Michigan attorney, who was once the state Republican Party's spokesman in Michigan, sent out an email that suggested it's now time for armed rebellion because of the Supreme Court's decision. Jesus Christ! According to a local news service that originally reported his email, Davis sent it, quote, moments after the Supreme Court ruling to numerous news media outlets and limited government activists. Davis's email begins, implicit in Ben Franklin's fabled response at the conclusion of the Constitutional Convention was a dire warning that the Republic would one day devolve into tyranny unless we the people prevented it. Yeah, well, the best way to prevent tyranny is to remove every single Republican, take away their right to vote, take away their right to drive cars, take away their right to have health insurance, put them in a huge pen, and unleash, a herd of 60 million hungry rats. What's the matter with you people? Are you totally insane? Did you suggest armed rebellion when the Supreme Court in 2000 stopped the vote counting in Florida? Did you suggest armed rebellion, you dumb bastards, when Bush invaded a country and butchered people? What is wrong with you? You are insane, you right-wingers. You're just totally out of your minds. You're so far out of your crawl space, the spring is broken. You don't know what the hell to do. Lord. Armed rebellion. Oh, Jesus, sit down. Go back to picking your nose. Armed rebellion over Supreme Court decision that helps the insurance industry and does help some people get insurance. There's no denying it. Of course it does. But I think it shows how sick these right wingers are. Oh, and where's your little doo-doo dance there, John Boehner, that you were talking about? No, I don't want anybody spiking the ball or getting, real celebratory when, when the Supreme Court rules all this unconstitutional. I don't want any spike in the ball. I spike my drink, but I don't want any spike in the ball. Jesus God. David Cole writing at The Nation, why did Roberts do it? Why did John Roberts do it? David Cole writes, in part, the outcome reflects the fact that the truly radical position in this dispute was that of the people challenging it. Even very conservative lower court judges, including Jeffrey Sutton of the Sixth Circuit and Lawrence Silberman of the D.C. Circuit, had concluded that the law was valid. But in addition, David Cole writes, I cannot help but think that at the back of Roberts' mind was the court's institutional standing. Had the law been struck down on so-called party lines, the court's reputation would be seriously undermined. In May, the Pew Research Center reported that favorable views of the Supreme Court as an institution had reached an all-time low. Well, yeah, when you have some freak like Uncle Clarence sitting there, and Sammy the Fish, and Fat Tony. I mean, these are trolls. These are people who have no business on the Supreme Court. They're arrogant twits who sit up there and further the fascist agenda in this country. No kidding. And, David points out, it's worth noting that as this filthy Supreme Court's term draws to a close, that the court has issued a surprising number of liberal decisions. It struck down mandatory life sentences without parole for juveniles. It invalidated a penalty imposed on broadcasters for indecent speech. It struck down a law making it a crime to lie about one's wartime honors. You can lie now. Hey, everybody, you know, I have the Congressional Medal of Honor. I charged up a muddy hill in Vietnam and wiped out, oh, I don't know, just a whole bunch of them beating on measers. You can say that and there's no law against it. The Supreme Court extended the right to effective assistance of counsel to plea bargaining. It invalidated most of Arizona's anti-immigration law. It ruled that installing a GPS to monitor an automobile's public movements requires a warrant. It retroactively applied a liberalized crack cocaine sentencing regime to persons who had committed their crimes before the reforms were introduced. Just a whole bunch of liberal stuff. Oh, you dumbass Republicans. You half-witted Republicans. Ay, 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 ay.
It's more Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Okay, when did the death panels get set up? I want to sit on one of those panels here in Georgia. I want to sit on a death panel. I want to have Republicans come before the death panel so I can scream, off with your head. Off with your head. Off with your head, sucker. Come on, where's the death panels? Where's Michelle Bachmann? I want to... Now, word is out and about that when these right-wing turds finally calm down, you know, the screamers and the ones that compare it to 9/11 and the ones that say it's just because the Supreme Court rules it unconstitutional doesn't mean it's unconstitutional. That one just cracked me up. That just, Jesus God. But here's the problem. You know, this country is about 75% half-wit, and you know it, and I know it. It's about 85% half-wit where it concerns governors and legislators in the various states. You know it. I know it. We also know that you and I have not a damn thing to say about candidates or elections or the money that comes flooding in. You know it. I know it. So what's going to happen now is that the right wingers, the really crazy ones, the ones who belong in locked up in with those face masks on, like in what was that movie about the cannibal guy, and you know, yeah, Signs of Lambs. Can you still hear the lambs? What was her name?
Clarice.
That's where they belong, deep inside dungeon cells, these right-wing crazy people, because that's what they are. They're mad. They're totally insane. And the Republic is in grave danger, as are normal people. But since you know, all right, I may be exaggerating a little bit. 65% of the people in this country are dumber than a sack full of broken glass. We all know this. So those are the people who are going to be inspired now by hundreds of millions of dollars are going to be spent to convince the 65% that are choking to death on their own dumbassery that this is the biggest tax secret. It's going to kill. It's going to take away the government. And it'll buy the government health care. Your little baby won't be able to live. Little granny's going to live on the death panel. I mean, it's just going to be an onslaught that is going to be, it's going to make that teabaggery horse crap look like a walk in the park. Remember all that? You remember that? Remember how those clowns, those white people, all lard asses, all on some kind of government sponsored payback for money that they paid into Social Security or Medicare or whatever. Remember those clowns in their print dresses and their khaki slacks, go to those meetings with clowns like Mike Pence talking about death panels and, oh my God, that was nothing. That was nothing. What these right-wingers are going to unleash through the funding of swine like the Koch brothers, swine like Edelman or Adelson, whatever the hell his name is, they don't want Obama in there. They want Romney because they can control Romney. You know, Romney gets the prize. It's just like how we pay for his wife's horses through tax. What do you call it, Kathy? Through tax breaks, we want for the Romneys. We wind up paying for their goddamn dressage horses. You and I do. So Romney, all Romney wants is to be president. He's like George Bush. You know, I just want to be president. I don't want to do anything. Don't worry, you won't have to do anything, Mitt. We'll take care of it for you. So look for just an absolute avalanche of ads and propaganda and lies. It's just like those stupid freaks on Fox and CNN today. Oh, yeah, well, guess what? The Supreme Court declared it unconstitutional. And they're all high-fiving and jumping around like drops of water on a hot griddle. I mean, these are journalists? And poor old CNN. You know, CNN, I read something yesterday. CNN this last month or week or quarter, who cares, hit its lowest viewership in its history. It's now somewhere down there around Teletubbies, the amount of people who watch it. And there is debate as to whether or not Teletubbies kicks its ass when they're both on together. But it's just... Just prepare yourself. Did I mention this hour? I don't think so. This hour is being sponsored by a new book called Too Much Magic, Pulling the Plug on the Cult of Tech, The Secrets They Won't Tell You About Your Digital Life. It is written by Jason Ben-Levy, who's a regular listener to The Malloy Show. Too Much Magic tells the inside story of venture capitalists, media moguls, and marketeers using digital magic to distract us, invade our privacy, corrupt democracy, distort human values, and sell us things that we don't need. This book was awarded 5 stars from the San Francisco Book Review. Too Much Magic, Pulling the Plug on the Cult of Tech is available on Amazon or from your local bookstore. Now, you can find out more. Go to the website, TooMuchMagic.com. TooMuchMagic.com. And as Jason says, fight the new digital 1% sons of bitches. That's TooMuchMagic.com. Get it and read it. Would you do that? CNN and Fox. Oh, my God. I don't know what angle hasn't been already. And then I watched the liberals on MSNBC just doing backflips. I mean, I thought I was going to have a diabetes attack from all the sugary slop and all the smirking and smiling that was coming, as if they, this whole clutch of people on MSNBC, as if they are the ones that made the ruling. It was just astonishing to watch. This was a Supreme Court ruling around whether or not the Congress has the power to tax. That's all. It's like Roe v. Wade is not really about abortion. It's about a woman's right to privacy. So Roberts' majority opinion was about the Congress's right to tax. But my God, watching, and MSNBC is the only one I cared to watch today. Really, I mean, I have to admit that because a lot of people on that network I find very informative and very entertaining, frankly. I wouldn't watch CNN or Fox if somebody held a gun to their heads. Not my head, their head. I wouldn't. It's pointless. But the MSNBCers just overdid it just a little bit today, folks. I mean, come on. It was great theater. Now, do you suppose that when the smoke clears, and if Obama wins re-election, that he will begin the process of working us towards single payer? That's the only thing I would celebrate. I have to admit, I got a rush of ha-ha, dumbasses, when the news came down today. I did. I mean, I'm not going to deny that there was some kind of glee in knowing that all these right-wingers and their death panel crap and the past 3 years of garbage that they have heaped into media was pushed right in their punky faces. Every one of them, man and woman, all these members of Congress, all these commentators, and the load of crap that was pushed into their face came from John Roberts. I loved it. Now, what have they started an impeach John Roberts movement? Of course. Of course they have. You didn't follow the script. Yes, he did. He followed the script perfectly. His own script. He had said in his confirmation hearings that, yeah, I'm a conservative, but I'm not an ideologue. And, of course, we liberals didn't believe him. This is back when I was a liberal. We didn't believe him. We said, oh, yeah, sure you are. Well, look at Fat Tony. Look at Sammy the Fish. Look at that lump of moronic nothing, Clarence Thomas, that sits back in the corner and just picks his nose. Of course we don't believe them. But turned out that John Roberts at his confirmation hearing was saying the truth. I am a conservative. I will move in the conservative direction, but I'm not an ideologue. Well, you know, you either believe him or you don't believe him. I don't know. But I just thought it was wonderful that it was not Kennedy that was the swing vote, that it was Roberts. How does that feel, you right-wing clowns?
Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by a new book called Too Much Magic, Pulling the Plug on the Cult of Tech, The Secrets They Won't Tell You About Your Digital Life. It's written by Jason Ben Levy, who's a regular listener to The Malloy Show. Too Much Magic tells the inside story of venture capitalists, media moguls, and marketeers using digital magic to distract us, invade our privacy, corrupt democracy, distort human values, and sell us things that we don't need. It was awarded 5 stars from the San Francisco Book Review. Too Much Magic, Pulling the Plug on the Cult of Tech, is available on Amazon or from your local bookstore. And you can visit TooMuchMagic.com to find out more. So fight the new digital 1%, sons of bitches. That's TooMuchMagic.com. Get it. Read it. Thank you, Jason. Got to take a look at that one. BuzzFeed.com has a whole bunch of are these Twitter tweets? Or are these what are these, Kathy? Facebook? I don't know. I guess it's tweets. All the people who are now moving to Canada because of Obamacare. KCW. I'm moving to Canada. Obviously, the United States doesn't know what they're doing anymore. This used to be a great country. Pretty sad. Lucas Dardigas. The Supreme Court upheld Obamacare. That's it. I'm moving to Canada. Walter Weldon. I'm moving to Canada. The United States is entirely too socialist. I mean, this is the problem, you see. When you hear me say on this program that 65% of the people in this country can't even tie their own damn shoes if they still had shoelaces in them, you know, and you take offense, oh, he hates America. No, I don't, you know, I love America. I love the country. I just can't stand the scene. That's all it is. I mean, we have made ignorance into an art form. And it's just ludicrous to think. I mean, just think of the death panels, for Christ's sake. This is how that ditz Michelle Obama was trying to advance her little tacky career in politics. Oh, death panels! She with the really whacked out husband, huh? What's his name? Barfy? Bongo? What the hell is his name?
Mary.
Huh?
Mary.
Betty.
Oh,
God. I think it was Barfy or something.
No.
Death panels. Woo! Come on, you right-wingers. I want to sit on a death panel. Where can I find one? Dear God, let me sit on one of those. Marcus. That was his name. It wasn't Mary. It was Marcus.
Martha.
No, it wasn't Martha. It was Marcus. Muffy. Did I say Michelle? No, I didn't say it. I said Michelle Obama? I said that. I meant Michelle Bachmann. Oh, my God, there is a difference, isn't there? You know what I meant. Ethan Bronner, who writes the New York Times, whose son is in the Israeli Defense Forces, that makes Ethan Bronner a real unbiased writer on Middle Eastern affairs for the New York Times. Anyway, he weighed in today on a reexamination of John Roberts' legacy. He writes, to those on the left who viewed him as an ideologue, eager to pull the court rightward in a political fashion, this will now begin a reexamination of his style and legacy, as it will be for those on the right who considered the law unconstitutional and relied on him to make that point. Yeah, but the people on the right consider it unconstitutional because they're ignorant savages. They still eat bark off of trees. You know, they hit each other with bricks when they go to a picnic. I mean, these are right-wingers. So here, once again, Ethan Bronner is comparing rational people to these right-wing thugs. And Roberts has been and will. So, yes, I gave you several examples of decisions that could be considered liberal by this court. You know, a bunch of 5-4 decisions that went the other way. But Roberts is a conservative. If he is not an ideologue, which he claims he is not, let's see what happens over the next 30 years. Well, I won't see it, but maybe you will over the next 30 years of his career. Of course he's a right-winger. Lawrence Tribe, the liberal Harvard law professor who taught John Roberts in law school, Lawrence Tribe said, quote, this could be a huge day in the evolution of Chief Justice Roberts as a great Chief Justice. Lawrence Tribe had not opposed John Roberts' nomination because he believed Roberts was less of an ideologue than many charged. Lawrence Tribe said today, "I have some sense of gratification." In other words, he considers himself to be right. Ah, like Dwight Eisenhower was said to have called his appointments of Earl Warren and William Brennan Jr. two of his biggest mistakes. I bet you George Bush is just spinning in his old duels tonight, wouldn't you think? We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Tuned.
Let's be clear about something here, and I think Michael and Roswell kind of puts it as succinctly as possible. Michael writes, let's not give Roberts too much credit. He's extremely pro-big business, and this ruling likely gives the insurance companies 35 to 40 million new customers and new government subsidies for poorer enrollees. Ultimately, Michael writes, this law is even better for the for-profit healthcare system than it is for the uninsured. Yeah, and I think we know that. That's one of the reasons that, you know, I have also said that, you know, opening up 35 or 40 million more purses for these insurance monsters to reach in and help themselves is not a good idea, even though there are some aspects of the Affordable Care Act that, you know, the crumbs that are usually tossed to liberals, there's a few things in there that I think are really good. But what the country needs is what the country needs, and that is a single payer on the Canadian model. I'm not talking about what these right-wing dumbasses call government health care. You know, that's what they have in the UK. That's not what we're talking about here. Nobody has ever suggested that. Nobody that's got the sense necessary to talk about the subject. We're not talking about government health care. That's what the right-wingers came up with, along with their death panels. I just can't get over that. Death panels. So, yeah, whatever. The ruling today, or the ruling that was handed down today, whatever the ultimate outcome of that is, if it means more people get insured right now, if it means, as Obama said in his victory speech, if it means that the Affordable Care Act will prevent people from losing everything they own because they get sick, if it keeps people who if it keeps people from having their insurance premiums rise simply because all of a sudden they're diagnosed with an illness, if it allows children to stay on their parents' health care plans all the way up to age 26 if it eliminates the exclusion of people because of pre-existing conditions. I mean, life is a pre-existing condition. I mean, who among us is born and lives a life and doesn't suffer some sort? I mean, yeah, there's millions of us, but there's also tens of millions of us that don't, we don't have that kind of life. We live to a certain point, and then we have to deal with illness of one sort or another. Heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and yes, I know it's lifestyle stuff. I understand all that. But it's still a reality. So, the other thing that's good about the Affordable Care Act is the provisions for preventive medicine. And if I hear another clown on MSNBC call it preventative, I'm going to scream. They all were saying it, preventative. You just want to reach in the television, and especially the lard ass, and just grab them and say, stop it! The word is preventive! So there are some good things about it, but yes, as Michael and a few other people are pointing out, the big insurers probably, you know, called John Roberts up a couple of weeks ago when the decision was being written and said, John, you know what we want. I know what you want. Okay, just checking in. Now, I want to share something with you here. I got a letter, snail mail, from a woman named Elise. And she also decided to sponsor an hour. And it came in with her check. It came in with the letter. I want to share this with you. Hello, Mike and Kathy. I don't have a computer anymore. Thank you for sharing your snail mail address with me. A year ago, I emailed you to tell you that I and my boyfriend had lost our health insurance. Insurance that we had through our jobs for 20 years. The man who owns the company where we work told us he was dropping our coverage because he wasn't running a charity. My boyfriend's right arm had been progressively becoming weak for months. He kept working despite this condition. Michael, his name, had been wrongly informed that he'd likely had a stroke. A month after we lost our insurance, we applied for private coverage. We answered scores of questions on the phone for an hour and a half. 2 weeks later, we received a letter from what is a major health insurance company, which began, "We at blank value our customers." It was a denial letter for Michael and a "We need to ask you more questions" letter for me. They value their customers? Sure they do. Michael's only option was to apply for something called PCIP, which stands for Pre-Existing Condition Insurance Program, which is issued through the government but underwritten by for-profit companies. He had to wait 6 months to qualify. During that time, he was getting weaker, and I was very worried. He never complained. He did qualify for PCIP. We made an appointment for him, and the first doctor he saw said he was pretty sure he had ALS. But he needed to see a neurologist. He did, in fact, have ALS. He was diagnosed on March 3rd. His doctor told him to get a second opinion at USC. The earliest appointment he could get was Monday, May the 31st. On May 30th, he went into respiratory distress. I called an ambulance. He was hospitalized and remained in ICU for 7 days. He was lucid and always smiled at his brother and me when we came in every morning. He had to have assistance breathing with something called a BiPAP machine. He could not swallow and didn't want a feeding tube. He finally didn't want the BiPAP machine either. His brother and I and a close friend were with him when he died. He died with an incredible amount of grace and courage. I miss him very much. The long stuff of Michael's character was generosity, and he was the kindest person I've ever known. He was an intelligent, caring, compassionate liberal. You would have loved him. We never missed your show and agreed with you that Republicans are hell-bent on ending the human story. In Michael's honor, I would like to sponsor an hour of your program. My message is, hold the people you love close and cherish every moment with them. Many good wishes and warmest regards, Elise. Well, And I thought it would be very appropriate. She didn't specify when she wanted to sponsor an hour, but I thought it would be appropriate to do it tonight. Due to the fact that if we had universal health care, if we had something, if not that, something rational, if we had Medicare for everybody, whatever you want to call it, I guess that would be universal health care, wouldn't it? Then people like Elise's Michael, who can be misdiagnosed or not diagnosed at all because they don't go to a physician, because they can't afford it, and people like Elise's Michael might have a chance. I realize ALS is a progressive degenerative disease, and eventually it gets you, but it doesn't have to get you in that quick a period of time. So in honor of Michael, Elise's boyfriend, this hour is dedicated to him and to Elise. And we thank you very much, Elise, for sharing your story and also for sponsoring the hour. Now, I probably won't read the letter again because it is lengthy, but I'm going to mention Elise's name and Michael's name, as we always do when we have a sponsor. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
So long, honey dear, where I'm bound, I can't tell. Goodbye is too good a word, baby, so I just say fairly well. And it ain't no use in turning on your light, baby, I'm on the dark side of the road. But I wish there was something you would do or say to try and make me change my mind and stay. But we never did too much talking anyway. But don't think twice, it's all right.
One flying monkey at a time. Here's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. We're going to unplug the phone lines see what you think about what happened today. I don't know that it's all that monumental. It's being referred to that way, but who knows? The move is on to impeach Roberts. I think I mentioned that. Bachman, the crazy Michelle Bachman, told reporters, "This was an activist court that you saw today. Anytime the Supreme Court renders something constitutional that is clearly unconstitutional, that undermines the credibility of the Supreme Court, I do believe. The court's credibility was undermined severely today. Congress should now force, you know, they can now force you to buy IKEA furniture. The Supreme Court has abandoned us," Governor Rick Perry said. Rick Scott, all these Rick governors who are just these little fascist rat bastards. Rick Scott said, "Today's decision by the Supreme Court of the United States is simply disappointing. I stand with Justice Kennedy that the entire act should have been held invalid." Oh, bite me, Rick. Who cares where you stand? Good Lord. Well, I haven't seen anything about Uncle Clarence or Sammy the Fish or Fat Tony. Kennedy is just a—I mean, he doesn't know what he is. I know. The votes are supposed to be non-ideological. Right, exactly. But those three, Alito, Scalia, and Uncle Clarence, I'm looking forward in a macabre sort of way to reading their dissenting opinion. You know what I'm saying? I want to see how they, justify their dissent on the basis of Congress does not have the power to tax. Oh God, I'm sick of it really. But let's take some calls on it. Carl is in Nashville, listening online. Hello, Carl.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you tonight?
I'm doing just fine. And, you know, I think everything is always the greatest this, the mind, the biggest this, the largest that. You know how they overplay everything.
Right.
I think it's just the first step. It's an embarrassment to me as an American that we don't have single payer in this country. I mean, I think should be damn near mandatory, if not in school, each parent in each house should make their child look up and read and do a book report on Tommy Douglas. It's amazing that most Americans wouldn't have any idea who this man is. That's, as you might know, the father of the single payer in Canada.
No, I didn't.
But you didn't know? Oh my goodness. See,
no.
Tommy Douglas, at 6 years old, severely injured his leg. At 12 years old, it got to the point where he had a bone infection and it was either going to be amputated or die. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have any money for his family was poor, didn't have any money for the operation. So a doctor said he'd do it for free if his parents will allow his students to watch. Well, Tommy Douglas got that surgery and he said in his mind that right then and there that no one should lose a child or have a child lose a leg because they couldn't afford health care. And I totally agree with that. And he was voted the top Canadian of the past century. You are rewarded by your people when you do the right thing. And I hear Republicans like Etch-a-Sketch Romney say that he's going to repeal and replace when Republicans never have any idea or any thought want or need to do health care.
That's right. Or anything else. They are not in the business of advancing America. They are in the business of being obstructionists and doing exactly what their corporate masters say. And their corporate masters do not want the Affordable Care Act for some reason. Now, the insurance, I think the insurance companies are going to love it. I mean, they have to give a little, but they're going to get a hell of a lot more. I mean, can you imagine all of a sudden, Carl, if you had a business where somebody walked up to you and said, oh, by the way, starting in about 18 months, you get 35 million new customers. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah. How about that? I mean, it's a boondoggle. To me, it is utterly disturbing as an American, like I said, for just the sheer ignorance of my fellow Americans, that they would absolutely go for what the Republicans have to sell. They don't want to do anything
about
their
health care. Well, Carl, I got to go, but I do thank you for cluing me in as to who Tommy Douglas was. I appreciate that very much. Take care, Carl. We'll talk again. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Against the Flying Monkey Right with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. This hour is in honor of Michael and Elise, whose letter I shared with you last hour. Thanks, Elise. Bob Kincaid has been on the road in the South, as those of you who follow his program are aware. Bob Kincaid being an anti-crazy coal mining company activist in West Virginia. And a doer, Bob Kincaid does things and takes risks and has a radio program online, the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. So I get an email from him just a few moments ago. He writes, "Mike, our long odyssey into the South is nearing its end, and we're headed back into the toxic fastness of our Appalachian hills. When I read this morning that the rats on the Supreme Court had let the Affordable Care Act stand while gutting the Medicaid expansion, I thought, of course they did. The compulsory Medicaid expansion was the real hidden centerpiece of the law. It marked an opportunity to move a significant portion of the population into a genuine single-payer system. Isn't that how we would expect these merciless monsters to act? Does anyone expect Alabama Stan or Mississippi Stan or Carolina Stan to opt in to something that would save the lives of the working, struggling poor? Hell no. In the meantime, John Roberts cast that dead-eyed gaze of his onto the act itself and played some of the most cynical politics we've seen from the court since, what, last week? From now till November, the president will wear the ruling that Obamacare is a tax hike like a pork chop around the neck of a baby crawling through a junkyard full of snarling, tri-cornered, hat-wearing, Gadsden flag-waving Tea Party pit bulls. And I'll bet the poor little clueless Democrats don't even know they've been put in checkmate. Why should they? They think they're playing checkers. Back onto the road tomorrow. It's going to get right hot from here on out, and I'm not talking about the weather. Bob. Bob Kincaid, HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Yeah, that's the part that nobody's talking about, of course. The compulsory Medicaid expansion. It is now an option. The federal government, I think the first year or two, will pay 70 or 80% of the cost of the expansion for the states that decide to do it. But as Bob points out, do you really think that a state run by a fascist like Rick Smith or Rick Scott is going to opt in for something that would be beneficial to the citizens of the state, but would eventually require some sort of funding from the state? Do you really think that we still have governors, Republican governors, who give a damn about their citizens? They don't. From Kay Petrini, our education affairs correspondent, she sent me a photo from the New York Times. It's a crowd of people in front of the Supreme Court demonstrating against the Affordable Care Act. One woman is holding a sign that says, "Your pills, your bills." Another one says, "I am pro-life, I am pro-life." No, you're not. You're pro-fetus. Kay writes, "Mike, the attached photo from the Times illustrates what is fundamentally wrong with this country. There's no sense of community unless it's to band together against others. It's every man, woman, child for him or herself. I find that placard reading, 'Your pills, your bills,' particularly outrageous. Does this teabagger not understand that while today she may need to take pills, tomorrow could be very different? What happens if she steps off the curb and gets hit by a bus? What if she finds a lump in her breast? What if the fatigue she chalks up to stress is really a symptom of the cancer that is attacking her blood cells? On a less dramatic note, what happens if she loses her job and can no longer afford her birth control pills? Now, whose pills are we talking about again? The selfishness that these ignoramuses display is galling. Want to bet that these teabaggers go to church every Sunday and claim to love the Lord? Excuse me while I throw up. K. P.S. I love the new word you've coined, dumbassery. I laugh out loud every time you use it on the air. Of course, your calling John Kyle a dickhead the other day had me rolling with laughter, too. Well, it doesn't make Kathy roll with laughter. Kathy always grits her teeth when I say that. It's not one of the seven words. Don't worry about it. I'm coming to your calls here in just a second. Stay there. From Institute for Public Accuracy, some comments. Margaret Flowers, Dr. Margaret Flowers, whose partner is Kevin Zeese, they were the people that started the October 29 movement that morphed into, in D.C. anyway, the Occupy movement. She is a congressional fellow with Physicians for a National Health Program. She said today that meaningful reform would be to expand Medicare to everyone in the United States, in effect, dropping two words, over 65. She added that much of the discussion around Obamacare has been political posturing, that Romney and Obama agreed on basically the same system, mandating people to buy private insurance rather than provide public health care. And that's the part, and this is the part that Bob Kincaid is referring to. This is a part that I've referred to. This is, while I just couldn't help myself but getting gleeful over the decision, because it was such a smash in the face of these right-wingers, it still is not what we need. I mean, if you're able to think this through, you know this as well as I do, probably better than I do. This is nonsense to be playing around with the Affordable Care Act, which, as I said, it does have some good aspects, but you can roll all of that into one single program and just expand Medicare for everybody. What the hell is the big deal? What is the big deal? What does Medicare cost? I'm old enough to get it, but I don't because I still have private insurance through my union. But what does it cost? $125 a month or something? What is that? $1,500 a year? Is that affordable? Russell Mulkiber is the founder of Single Payer Action and the editor of the Corporate Crime Reporter. Mulkiber and 50 doctors filed a brief with the Supreme Court asking them to, quote, strike down the individual mandate that forces people to buy lousy private health insurance. We reject Obamacare and Romneycare, end quote. And I guess most people understand that the Affordable Care Act in a form not unlike what was declared constitutional by the Supreme Court today, was put together in 1989 by the Heritage Foundation, a right-wing organization of trolls, if ever there was one. And they trotted it out when Hillary Care, remember that term, Obamacare, Hillary Care, when Hillary Clinton and Ira Magaziner and a whole group of people right after Bill Clinton was sworn in as president, they worked to put together this wonderful health care plan, which wasn't. It wasn't single payer. And the Heritage Foundation and the right wingers who fund and run it came out with what essentially is the Affordable Care Act, or so-called Obamacare, that the Supreme Court today, not counting the three morons and Kennedy, who couldn't find his ass with both hands, but it was declared constitutional. So the people who are pointing out the people who are pointing out that this is not what we should be doing in the year 2012, the United States of America is, I mean, this still allows, what, a 15% profit for the insurance companies? What does Medicare cost, 4%? Where do you suppose that other 11% is going to go? For more health care? Oh, please. Please. So, to the people who have been pushing for single payer, absolutely. That's exactly what it should be. But as allegedly Ted Kennedy told Obama, no, it's not single payer, but go for what you can get. Take what you can get. And maybe that's what real politics is all about. Sponsored by Elise in memory of her significant other, Michael. And Elise says her message is, hold the people you love close and cherish every moment with them. Thank you, Elise. Appreciate it. Reg from TV News Lies writes in, Elena Kagan recused herself from the Arizona immigration decision because she had worked on the case in her role as Obama's Solicitor General. Where's the outcry that Clarence Thomas was permitted to cast a vote on the health care case despite the work his wife has done for years in opposition to the bill? Virginia Thomas worked for the Tea Party group Liberty Central, which fought Obama's health care reform law. She served as Liberty Central's president and CEO and received $150,000 in salary from the group. She also received $15,000 in payments from an anti-health care lobbying firm she started herself. Not a word from the pundits. Reg. Yeah, lest we forget about that, which I temporarily did. Virginia Roberts, who did everything she could while her husband's sitting on the Supreme Court to thwart the success and bring about the failure of the Affordable Care Act. Not a sound. Is this a great country or what? Is this a great country or what? Oh, my God. You like that? Where are we here? Oh, yes. Paul is in Canton, Georgia. Hi, Paul. Thanks for holding on.
Oh, sure. Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Three quick things. One was, it cracked me up, the people up out there saying, how can they make us buy health care? But did they forget that they have to buy car insurance every year, every month?
Well, sure. There's all kinds of things that either state or federal government has. I mean, your mortgage, you've got to have mortgage insurance.
Exactly.
I mean, it just goes on and on. There's certain things that we all have agreed that we have to do in order to make sure that if there's a loss, it's a shared loss, to spread the responsibility, but to take responsibility. These right-wing liars, I mean, they just make me sick. Oh, well, whatever.
Second thing was, technically, you really don't have to buy health care. You'll be penalized if you don't, but you don't have to buy it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So the idea that they're even forcing you is another moot point because you really aren't forced to. You're kind of like paying for nothing, you're better off getting it, but you don't have to get it if you don't want to.
Yeah, right.
And my third argument is I kind of disagree with Bob's comment before, because I think big business does want this health care to go through, because later, slowly but surely, they're going to end up dumping their employees on to this program instead, so they won't be responsible for it,
mm-hmm.
and they'll have cost certainty, because their, you know, their premiums go up too. You know, I mean, they don't want to be paying all this money for health care. So I think that big business is the big business, not people like the Koch brothers. I'm talking about Coke and IBM and General
right.
Motors want this to go through.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not as much responsible for it.
Yeah, is that what you got out of Bob Kincaid's email to me?
I got that he was saying that big business is going to fight this. I don't think big business is going to fight this that much, because I really think that they don't want to be responsible for health insurance.
Well,
they want to dump it off on the American public and have us pay for it.
Right. Well, but yeah, I get your point. But I think what Bob Kincaid and a lot of people are saying is that the whole thing is a scam when you get right down to it.
Oh, of course, yeah. It is, but I think that...
I mean, how we arrive at the scam and how abusive the scam is, I guess, is open for debate. But it's still a scam. We should have single payer.
And that's why I thought I was going to pass it. I figured one of those guys would come over and pass it, because they work for big business. Not
right.
little business, big business. You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it ended up being Roberts. I didn't think it was him. I thought it'd be Kennedy, but
well, yeah, I never would have thought that John Roberts. And of course, you know, Roberts' rule or Roberts' decision. I think everybody is kind of scratching their heads to figure out what was the point.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are suggesting that he gave the Republicans this wonderful gift because he labeled it as what it is, a tax.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Republicans can scream and you know, just go insane about the largest tax increase in the history of the human race.
Right.
And that's what Bob Kincaid was saying, that Roberts now has, in a sense, put a necklace of pork chops around Barack Obama's neck the way you would around a baby, and then turn the baby loose in the junkyard with a pack of snarling dogs. So anybody who says that Roberts, I'm surprised it was him.
Me too.
Until, you know, I started listening to people who are saying, well, wait a second.
I also think that, I just lost what I was going to say, sorry.
Oh, well, that happens to a lot of us. Paul, what can I say?
The mind's the first thing to go, right?
That's right.
Well, have a good night.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. I appreciate you checking in. Thanks a lot, Paul. Yeah, when the dust settles, I mean, a couple of people whose opinions I respect have, and I've read their emails on the air tonight. It's kind of a, you know, glass half full, glass half empty thing. Would that be a proper comparison? Like I said, there's some aspects, and I think we can all agree, to the Affordable Care Act that are beneficial, but it falls so far short of what we should have in this country. So I don't know. We're so used to taking whatever little bits and crumbs that are tossed our way. And this is just another example, isn't it, of trickle down. The insurance companies get 40 and 50 million new customers. We have to buy the insurance or don't, or pay a fine. And I don't know. It's just, I don't know why we don't cut the crap and act like a civilized country. is 7 past the hour. The phone number here is 877-996-2556. Dwayne is in Winnipeg, Canada. Hi, Dwayne.
Hey, Mike. I just wanted to start by saying that was a pretty heart-wrenching story you told there. It's, you know, it's a real sad thing to hear something like that.
Oh, Elise's letter about her her now deceased boyfriend, Michael. Yeah.
Just horrific. But you know, you had me rolling down the road, like laughing, because when those morons were saying they're going to move to Canada because it's too socialist in the United States, I was laughing so hard, because if those idiots would do their research, they would find out that next to a couple of Western European countries, we're about as socialist as you can get in Canada.
Well, you surely understand that the bulk of Americans are not the brightest bulbs in the marquee, Dwayne. I mean, here in the Western Hemisphere, as a matter of fact, we probably stand as some of the most ignorant, especially around topics like self-governance, or what is socialism, what is capitalism.
Right.
You know, Americans are, and it's not because incline ourselves towards stupidity. It's because our educational system teaches us to be stupid, and our television monster backs up the stupidity, and then we have a news media, especially television, that is there to make us forget. So,
let me ask you this. What is it that they think the socialized government is gonna like, what do they think is the negative side of it? Because, like, as a Canadian, with universal Medicare, like, it's amazing. Like, I'm a middle-class guy. I've had several operations. I haven't cost me anything, and I don't begrudge people in lower class that need the same care I get, and nor do I begrudge rich people that need Medicare, and they get it at the same cost I do. Like, I just don't understand where... or what it is that's being preached down there, that it's a bad thing, because there's nothing bad about it whatsoever. Like, I just don't get that part of it.
Again, it's because of American people, the American people, the people of the United States being grossly misinformed, and the fact that our government is now a wholly owned subsidiary of corporate America, of the capitalist system here in America. And unlike Canada, where you have a bit of socialism, a bit of capitalism, a bit of this, a bit of that, here in the States, if there's any mention whatsoever of shared responsibility and shared rewards and shared this, income inequality, if this is talked about at all, the person who brings up the topic is immediately labeled anti-American or a communist, or why don't you move to Vietnam, or, I mean, just madness like this. And again, it goes back to the fact that Americans are uneducated. I have no idea why this resistance to Medicare for everybody became so poisonous, except for the fact that it was being run by wealthy people in this country, ultra wealthy people, who have a vested interest in having a class of Americans who have nothing, will never get anything, but are forced to continue to work and slave for these corporatist bastards. That's the only answer I have, Dwayne.
Well, I just hope that, you know, someone can actually, you know, get it through people's heads and explain them to them the truth of that, what it really is, and not these lies. Like, I mean, I've heard Bill O'Reilly, just not recently, but a couple of years ago, I heard him, you know, basically lying. He was talking about the Canadian Medicare system, and he was actually lying, telling lies about what it was about, as if it was like this horrible thing. And I just couldn't understand that. So hopefully people can actually educate the Americans properly and tell them the truth about what it really is.
Don't count on that, because we here in the States, who understand the lies and why they're being told, I think we pretty well understand, Dwayne, that the truth will never out in this country as long as we have the system that we have in place. It's going to take changing the system entirely. And until that time, we're stuck where we're stuck.
All right, well, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Dwayne. I appreciate you checking in. I hope you call again. Thank you very much. Ay, 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 ay. That's that's the thing. When someone from a different but very similar society, i.e. Canada, or Western European countries, or certain countries in Africa, or South America, they take a look at what we consider to be the norm here, or what we consider to be acceptable. And they're genuinely and honestly shocked, because it is so irrational and illogical. If you are approaching the subject of healthcare from a logical or rational point of view, we wouldn't have this system that we have now. This is ridiculous. It's utterly obscene. This governor of Florida came within inches of going to prison because of the scam that he ran. Who was it? Bill Frist, senator from Tennessee. His entire operation, his entire whatever, were involved in one of the biggest scams, health insurance scams in the history of the country. And how are these people treated? Are they locked up? No. They're elected senator or governor. I mean, how do you explain that to people who come from societies that truly try to follow the rule of law, or try to adopt a rational approach to issues that absolutely require logical, rational approach? I mean, healthcare. Would it not be better for everyone in this country, just from a standpoint of how many of our children die in the first year? How many years do we live? What diseases we get? Wouldn't it be rational, logical, and proper if we had healthcare, including preventive healthcare, for everybody? I mean, doesn't that make sense? Wouldn't it make sense to have a public health system that truly was focused on health and not on sickness? And that when people did get sick or did get ill, they could be treated. I mean, what about that is not rational? Nothing. It's totally rational. But we do not live... We Americans do not live in a rational country. We are not rational any longer. Our leaders are not rational. Our policies, domestic and foreign, are not rational. Our attitudes toward each other and people who come to this country are not rational. They are not logical. Our religious systems are totally irrational, always have been, but they're getting worse. Our economic system is poison. It's the most illogical system ever devised by humans. Capitalism, that says the top 1% is going to have a life of luxury. The next 80% will be able to pay their bills. And the next 20% will live in abject poverty, disruption, no education. What is rational or logical about that? Well, nothing. To hell with it. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
say to eat good, no, you gotta swallow your pride. But dead dad game plan, I'm not satisfied.
The ball get worked, the rich get richer. The world is worse, the youth get the picture. The poor gets dead, the rich get depressed. The ugly get mad, the pretty get stressed. The ugly get violent, the pretty get gone. The old get stiff, the young get stepped on. Whoever told you that it was all good lies, put your fists up, you're not satisfied.
21 past the hour. Coming up after the break, A Moment with Bob. Marie is in Minneapolis listening on KTNF. Hi, Marie.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. Say, I wanted to comment on something that you said earlier.
Okay.
You had made a reference to the right wing's sort of dismissal of people needing health insurance because of lifestyle choices.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to remind people that there are a fair number of us who've had health problems because of other people's choices.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I had thyroid cancer when I was younger, and it is only caused by radiation. And I grew up in the Southwest, and all the nuclear tests that were done by the government back in the 50s and 60s
mm-hmm.
drifted over the Southwest.
Sure.
So, and I had two classmates out of eight of us total who also had thyroid problems, and the three of us grew up in the Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm pretty attuned to the idea that while there are some people who make poor choices, there are an awful lot of us who suffer the consequences of not only large corporations, but also the government's choices.
Sure.
And I think that... I have a couple of other comments, Mike, real quick. I think that it's going to be really interesting to see if there's a giant diaspora of people who move out of the states that refuse to take the money for funding and go to states that are sane and mm-hmm. provide health care, and what that will do to the political distribution in this country. And my other comment is I think it's going to be really interesting to see who ends up wielding power as a result of any money that insurance companies make off of the additional consumers that they'll have. And on the one hand, they currently, I think, clear about 30% versus the 15% they'll be allowed to get.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, they'll have these tens of millions of additional customers. So
right.
If we're smart, those of us who are progressive, will work within the system, will buy stock in these companies and control them.
Well, that's one way to look at it, for sure. I'm kind of against the idea of buying stock in companies for the simple reason that it's not, you know, this isn't the early 20th century or that's a poor example. This isn't, well, it's a hard to find example. We don't live in a time where my purchasing stocks means anything. A. B, if I buy stocks, I'm in a company or shares in a company, I'm supporting a system that to me is murderous, violent, brutal, and anti-life. So, yeah, buying stock, if you can afford to buy a controlling share, you and or not you specifically, but one and one's cohort, if you can figure out a way to buy a controlling share and then influence the company, that's one way to do it. But not in my estimation, not where it concerns the healthcare industry. There should not be a healthcare industry. There should be doctors. There should be nurses. They should be well paid for their experience and their schooling. Their educations should be free. They should be in the profession, not just to make money, but to provide health care, and I mean health care, and also provide sickness care. But it should be a system that is open to anyone and everyone, and we should pay for it with our taxes. We should stop funding wars and death and destruction and start funding life and health and the survival of the planet. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get up on my soapbox, but to me, Marie, the idea of participating in a system that is killing me, killing my children, my grandchildren, and my home planet, I can't do it.
Well, I agree with you in everything that you said. I just don't have a whole lot of hope for changing the system unless we get inside of it and own it.
Right. I don't think we ought to change it either. I think we ought to dump it, get rid of it, and start with something different. There are all sorts of models available for self-governance and probably a whole bunch that we haven't even thought about or that perhaps haven't been developed yet that could be developed. But we're stuck where we're stuck. And to me, it's particularly, singularly horrifying that we're stuck where we're stuck. Marie, I got to leave it there. Thank you so much. I appreciate you checking in. I hope you call again. Take care, okay? We'll be back after the break, and we have a moment with Bob.
Bank system, Mexico. We'll cut you off if you don't keep your taxes low. But they have no right to wield that sword, 'cause they take their orders from the chairman of the board. IMF, WTO, I hear these words just every place I go. Who are these people? Who elected them? And how do I replace them with some of my friends? And you, I
music. It's time once again for A Moment with Bob, brought to you by your friends at Offshore Drilling. Let us begin. Hey, Mike, before the Affordable Care Act came to pass, almost 50 million Americans were uninsured. Now that the Supreme Court has upheld Obama's signature health care law, 26 million Americans will remain uninsured. But how many more millions of Americans can barely afford the coverage they now have? Depending on your personal outlook on life, the glass is half full or half empty. But who wants a sip? Where I live, it is unimaginable that people can't afford health coverage. It is unthinkable that a person can't get health care. From all-knowing Wikipedia, quote, healthcare in Canada is delivered through a publicly funded healthcare system, which is mostly free at the point of use and has most services provided by private entities. It is guided by the provisions of the Canada Health Act of 1984. The government assures the quality of care through federal standards. The government does not participate in day-to-day care or collect any information about an individual's health, which remains confidential between a person and his or her physician. Canada's provincially based Medicare systems are cost-effective, partly because of their administrative simplicity. In each province, each doctor handles the insurance claim against the provincial insurer. There's no need for the person who accesses health care to be involved in billing and reclaim. Private insurance is only a minimal part of the overall healthcare system. Competitive practices such as advertising are kept to a minimum, thus maximizing the percentage of revenues that go directly toward care. In general, costs are paid through funding from income taxes, although British Columbia is the only province to impose a fixed monthly premium, which is waived or reduced for those on low incomes. There are no deductibles on basic health care, and copays are extremely low or non-existent. A health card is issued by the Provincial Ministry of Health to each individual who enrolls for the program, and everyone receives the same level of care. There is no need for a variety of plans because virtually all essential basic care is covered, including maternity and infertility problems. Health coverage is not affected by loss or change of jobs as long as premiums are up to date, and there are no lifetime limits or exclusions for pre-existing conditions. Pharmaceutical medications are covered by public funds for the elderly or indigent, or through employment-based private insurance. Drug prices are negotiated with suppliers by the federal government to control costs. Family physicians, often known as general practitioners in Canada, are chosen by individuals. If a patient wishes to see a specialist or is counseled to see a specialist, a referral can be made by a GP. Preventive care and early detection are considered important, and yearly checkups are encouraged. Early detection not only extends life expectancy and quality of life, but cuts down overall costs. Unquote. There's no reason to ask why healthcare is complicated, unaffordable, and a seemingly insurmountable problem in the U.S., but not in Canada. We know why. Unlike other industrialized nations, the United States healthcare system is centered around for-profit insurance companies, selling so-called insurance so people can have access to healthcare is a money-making opportunity. Withholding treatment for sickness and pain is a money-making opportunity. Sickness and pain are money-making opportunities. There's no need to look any further for a system completely lacking in compassion when we have the United States healthcare insurance system biting us in the face. What's the difference between a psychopath and a sociopath? Spelling. Though psychologists may disagree on hair-splitting the fine points defining a sociopath versus a psychopath, they all agree these lying, manipulative human mutants have no remorse, shame, or guilt. They invade countries, gut economies, kill women and children, or deny life-saving treatment to a cancer patient. They can do it all without missing a good night's sleep, and it appears they're in control of the United States of America. We didn't move to Canada so our health care coverage could go from $1,100 a month down to $1,800 a year. We got out of Dodge because the elite that ruled the country had ensured that their psychopathic brethren would never be held accountable for any of their crimes against humanity. Some countries are not obviously controlled by monsters. Iceland's big banks defrauded the country for astronomical sums and ran the economy into the ground. Sound familiar? The government did not bail out the banks. Central Bank Governor Davio Oddsson said that the state did not intend to take over any of the bank's foreign debts or assets. Instead, new banks were established around the domestic operations and the old banks will be run into bankruptcy. Too Big to Fail, also known as Reward the Vampires, was not the path chosen by Iceland. Instead, Iceland forgave the mortgage debt of about 25% of its population and sued and jailed the bankers who destroyed its economy. Then what happened? Well, Iceland now has low unemployment and its economic growth is stronger than anything forecast for the UK or the rest of Europe. Accountability works, but don't tell anybody. Iceland's recovery and how they did it is not a topic to be discussed on our nightly news. Might remind the peons of what tumbrils were and give the serfs the idea that they should build some new ones and roll on into Washington, D.C. and Wall Street. You see, there are only two things that can bring a psychopath under submission. One, a bigger psychopath. Two, the nonviolent, absolute refusal to submit to psychopathic controls, no matter the consequences. Americans, for the most part, have invented a completely ridiculous third option. It involves shopping for more crap, watching an average of nearly 35 hours of TV each week, and voting against their best interests. Oh, and by the way, here's another fact that should make everybody's enviometer beep. Iceland has universal health care. Regards from beautiful British Columbia, Bob. Another moment with Bob. Brought to you by your friends at Offshore Drilling. And what? Well, nothing. Well, you pause there like you're about to finish your sentence. The sentence is finished. Oh, okay. Dennis is in Santa Fe, listening on KTRC. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I am excellent. First, I had to thank you.
Sure. For what?
I'm going to tell you. I'm driving down the street. I'm already having a great day watching these right-wingers fall all over each other to say stupid things. Well, it's a great day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into the thing about, well, the Canadian health care. I love that. That's beautiful. I'm moving to Canada because I want to get away from U.S. socialism.
Right.
But the other thing is, I want to ask you, if you find a place to get an application for death panels, I'd like one, too.
Yeah?
So just pick me up one because I think, you know, that sounds like a really entertaining thing. And seeing it's going to happen anyway, we might as well be on the board.
Well, according to everything that was said two and a half, three years ago, death panels is the centerpiece of Obamacare. People are going to be told, okay, time for you to die. It's madness. I mean,
right.
Bob Alexander just put it pretty succinctly. Well, it wasn't very succinct. It was very wordy, but that's Bob, and bless him for it. But he put it very directly that we live in a system here that's a total scam. If somebody could point out to me one aspect of American society that is not a scam, that benefits the 0.1%. I swear to God, I sit and rack my brain. I started out when I became conscious as somebody who loved this country, that believed in its institutions, that was willing to defend it if it was ever attacked, which it hasn't been since before I was born. But all of that stuff fell away when I started to realize what kind of a trick bag we're all in. I mean, sure, we can have a good day. We can go out and buy a new Prius. We can have the bathroom remodeled. We can go for a week at the beach. But that doesn't mean anything.
No, that's right. And the other thing I was going to say, I was going to take exception to what you were saying about the policies that they're promoting are not being rational.
Uh-huh.
I would say that the policies are completely rational if your goal is to eliminate the middle class.
Well, that's the cycle.
Turn the U.S. into a corporate feudal republic.
Right. That's the cycle. Yeah, that's the psychopath, sociopath thing that coincidentally Bob just wrote about. We are run by a cadre of psychopaths, Dennis, as far as I'm concerned, and as far as a lot of people are concerned. Sociopath, psychopath, it doesn't really matter. These are people that have absolutely no interest and no concern whatsoever about their fellow tribesmen here on Turtle Island. And it's pretty disgusting. Dennis, I have to leave it there. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking in. Take care.
In your mind, you know that there's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that. There's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that. There's hope. Every time I turn on the TV, there's hope. Somebody's acting crazy, there's hope. You let it, it'll drive you crazy, there's hope. But I'm taking back my power today, there's hope. Gas prices, they just keep on rising, there's
before the hour. Email here from Paul. He writes, was listening to your show from this past Tuesday, and the question was raised by a caller about whether those in power know something the rest of us don't, which would explain the apparent lack of concern for the future being played out. Definitely not an asteroid that would make the accumulation of wealth meaningless and would be impossible to keep secret. If there is an anticipation of a die-off, my feeling is it would be one that is allowed to happen, not one that would be unavoidable. The fact is, we have all the technology and knowledge necessary today, with or without oil, to feed and shelter everyone, albeit with a less extravagant Western lifestyle. All that is missing is the will to make it happen, at least right now. But I feel it's becoming easier to say yes to a new social order. I think the madness we are seeing is the last gasp of an empire being naturally supplanted by a new global consciousness. Things are getting crazy because those with the means to act are getting more desperate. And it's taking more and more concentration of wealth to maintain any semblance of control. More and more cash needs to be thrown around to maintain the status quo. And it loses more efficacy with each new wave. It's only a matter of time before it all plays out. And those throwing the most cash at the old ways stand to lose the most if they insist that this game can go on indefinitely. Starting with Occupy, the elite have officially lost the ability to frame reality for the rest of us. If it was the tightly held control of information that gave the elite an edge throughout history, it is the liberation of that same information through the internet that is doing them in, naturally. History is coming to an end in a most spectacular show of kicking and screaming. But in the end, we'll all be wondering what all the fighting has been about. My optimistic two cents, Paul. Yeah, all right. I don't know if that's a glass half full or a glass half empty point of view. He says optimistic, but I get it, Paul. I understand what you're saying for sure. I think it's a glass half full. A couple more comments on the passage of the, or not the passage, but the declaration that the Affordable Care Act is constitutional. And tomorrow night, we're not going to do this. And again, the only reason I'm doing it tonight is because it, apparently our society thinks this was a momentous occasion today. Okay. Clark Newhall, Executive Director of Health Justice. Newhall's a doctor and a lawyer. He said today, quote, interestingly, it was John Roberts who voted to save Obamacare from going down in flames. The divide is not between liberal and conservative so much as it is between corporatists and everyone else. The current system is, in effect, a subsidy to the health insurance industry. We should move instead to get rid of that industry. It is simply not sustainable. The individual mandate has been ruled constitutional as a tax. What that means essentially is that Obama and Congress could require every American to buy a lousy product at an inflated price. Physicians for a national health program, put together by two doctors who are professors of medicine at Harvard Medical School. The group released a statement today, quote, although the Supreme Court has upheld the Affordable Care Act, the unfortunate reality is that the law, despite its modest benefits, is not a remedy to our health crisis. One, it will not achieve universal coverage, as it leaves at least 26 million uninsured. Two, it will not make health care affordable to Americans with insurance because of high copays and gaps in coverage that leaves patients vulnerable to financial ruin in the event of serious illness. And three, it will not control costs. And from Gwendolyn Mink. She is co-editor of the two-volume Poverty in the United States, an encyclopedia of history, politics, and policy. She's also the author of Welfare's End. She said today, quote, "The court's cramped view of Medicaid expansion means that low-income people will bear the individual mandate tax disproportionately. Upholding the requirement that individuals buy private insurance while allowing states to opt out of Medicaid expansion is the worst possible outcome. Achieving universal coverage by compelling low-income Americans to purchase private insurance may beef up health industry profits, but at the expense of people most in need of health care for all." Some comments from people who understand that what the Supreme Court ruled as being constitutional today is not what it appears to be. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.